Last week in our teaching time, I made the following observation, which I'll again kind of put up here on this whiteboard. Jesus was going along in his ministry of preaching and teaching, miracle working and healing, all the things that he was doing and people were experiencing from him. There came this pivotal moment in the Gospel of Matthew. It's recorded, Matthew chapter 16. We've been reading and studying that. It's one of the, of course, biographies of the life of Jesus. It comes this pivotal moment in Matthew chapter 16 in which Simon Peter confesses that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. And Jesus says, correct. You have correctly identified who I really am. You have got the identity question correct. And it's a pivotal moment and a surprising moment, because while we might expect from that point on, or while his followers might have expected, that Jesus would then, having been identified as Messiah, then kind of take an upward path in his career, ministry, calling as Messiah. He would ascend to the point of a spiritual, political leader, as some expected the Messiah to be. But instead, it's a pivotal point, because instead of ascending, Jesus, in fact, from that moment, descends. He turns immediately after, and the text says, Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, that from that point on, he began to tell his disciples and share with them that he must go on up to Jerusalem and suffer many things and be killed, and on the third day, raised to life. Jesus, after this pivotal moment, his descent is not up, but downward, and ultimately downward towards a horrible death on the cross. Jesus, from that moment in Matthew, charts a downward course. And as he does, as we'll discover today and in the coming weeks, he has some things to say, not only about his own path, but the path, the disposition, the attitude that his followers ought to have. The downwardly mobile Christ, as we talked about last week, calls those who would come after him to mimic his downwardly mobile actions and attitude. In fact, from Matthew 16, and again, this is Matthew 16, Peter's confession of Christ as Messiah. From this point on, even in the chapters immediately following, take the section, say, Matthew chapter 16 to 20, what we then find Christ doing as he teaches his disciples is undercutting worldly visions of success, talking with his disciples very plainly about trading earthly notions of success, wealth, gain, and talking with them, quite frankly, about denying themselves, losing their life in order to gain a life that is better, talking with them about the way of denial that comes with the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 16, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." Dietrich Bonhoeffer said it this way: when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. He bids him come and die. Now, we'll stop right there for a moment and just acknowledge that most of you who are gathered here to worship today, listening to this message, listening to the Word of God through this sermon, you're not listening to it in the kind of high-risk environment, the kind of dangerous environment that Peter and the 12 were in, an environment in which following Christ meant risking their very lives. Most of you who are listening today are not following Jesus in the kind of high-risk environment where Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German pastor and spy that I just quoted, lived and worked, actively trying to subvert the Nazi government, out of a commitment to Christ. That was another high-risk environment for a disciple of Jesus to live and operate in, right? Most of us are not in that kind of environment right now. Indeed, Bonhoeffer, Peter, James, Paul found themselves having to take on Jesus' call to lose one's life, having to take that to the ultimate degree, that they realized that they might lose their very life because of their commitment to Christ. While their high-risk environment is not ours in most cases, the disciple of Jesus, wherever he or she is nonetheless called to losing some things, to giving up some things, trading in the things of this world for the things of the kingdom of heaven. I want to talk with you about that today. This morning's message is entitled Losing Streak. It's number 2 in our series, Moving Toward the Cross. I'm going to look at a passage in just a moment and read it with you from Matthew chapter 19. You have a Bible today with you and you want to turn there. We're going to read from Matthew 19 in just a moment. Well, the message is entitled Losing Streak. Losing Streak, think of baseball, if you will. Whether or not you're a fan of baseball, I know that all of you who are watching today are a fan of the first signs of spring, which we're experiencing right now. And one of those things that kind of goes along with spring, at least in our American context, is the American pastime. It's baseball. People talking about, thinking about, beginning to practice and prepare for a baseball season that starts in the spring. And when you think about baseball, one of the things that is talked about a lot in baseball, of course, is a losing streak, a losing streak. Now, there's losing streaks in all sorts of activities in the world of sports or business or life in general, of course, but baseball in particular, there's things that teams go on a streak, a winning streak or a losing streak. And a losing streak, of course, is this experience of losing game after game, and not just losing, but it's like the losses seem to kind of compound, and confidence is lost, doubt is sown, and it becomes harder and harder to break out of that losing streak. Jesus' disciples were on a losing streak, if you will, but it was a streak of a different kind. In fact, their losing streak was a good one. It was one of giving up or losing certain aspects of their lives in order to follow Jesus. And Jesus, in Matthew chapter 19, affirms their losing, their giving up things as a good thing. For all the failures on the part of the disciples, all their failures to understand, all their failures of faith, all their failures when tested, which we've noted recently in our sermons, Jesus does commend them at this point for sacrifices they had made, things that they had given up in order to follow him. The moment comes in Matthew 19 on the heels of an encounter that Jesus has with the rich young ruler, a story you may be familiar with. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" he replied. He inquired. Jesus replied, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go. Sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." The young man heard this. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." Now, after that encounter that Jesus had, after that episode, here's how Jesus' disciples respond. And here's what they talk with Jesus about. Verse 25, when the disciples heard this, They were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Peter answered him, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, and here's the main part today, you guys. "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times much as and will inherit eternal life." Notice, everyone who has left something for my sake. And there's quite an extensive list of examples of what one might leave in order to follow Jesus as part of his or her discipleship. "But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." The disciples at that point, they'd left something. They'd lost something in order to follow Christ. Peter says, "Jesus, we've left everything to follow you." Now, they hadn't yet lost their life, not yet. But they had given up and lost their livelihoods. They'd lost their home. They'd lost their security. It said goodbye to family and friends those disciples had at this point, and Jesus recognizes it and says, "This is part of it, and you've done it." Our big idea for this morning is this: following Christ means being willing to lose some stuff along the way. Following Christ means being willing to lose some stuff along the way. Being willing to lose some parts of our life, some pieces or visions of worldly success, some comfort, some convenience. Whether or not you're in a high-risk, dangerous discipleship environment or not, this is an aspect of Christian discipleship. And I actually think, you guys, from this pivotal moment on, Matthew 16, Peter's confession, as Jesus then charts a downward path towards the cross, that as he goes, there's some teaching about the attitude and the downward disposition, the servant disposition, the willingness to lose and give up things on the part of his disciples, particularly in Matthew chapter 16 and 20. There's a story we just read in Matthew chapter 19 where Jesus affirms his disciples' willingness to leave their home, their wealth, their comfort, their security. There's in Matthew 18, Jesus imploring his disciples not to seek a position of status, but to seek a humble position or a lowly position, using the example of a child. In Matthew 20, there's Jesus telling his disciples that greatness in the kingdom of God is not about seeking to rule, but rather seeking to serve. You see, it's a downward mobility that the disciple of Christ is to have, a willingness to lose things. These disciples, Jesus' disciples, had already given up so much. But there was yet more that they were to lose, that Christ was calling them to lose. In this section, Matthew 16, 20 through 20, there's also these kind of maxims, these sayings of Jesus, which are memorable, right? That kind of encapsulate this being willing to lose. One of them is this: "The first shall be last, the last shall be first." That's used a couple of times in this section of Matthew's gospel. Here's another one: "For those who want to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." That's Matthew 16, also appears once earlier in Matthew's gospel. So there is, to be clear, a losing aspect of Christian discipleship, isn't there? Jesus calling his disciples to depart from worldly paradigms of seeking more and more, of gaining more and more, whether it's prestige or power or wealth or accolades, and instead moving towards the posture of a servant, of a child, being willing to lose things. I know when I talk about discipleship, I often talk about obedience and relationship and spiritual formation, that we're to relate to Christ and obey Him, and that as we do, that Christ can then form our character and conform our character more and more to that of Himself by the work of the Holy Spirit. And all of that's true, and that's found in the Scriptures 100 times over. But make no mistake, in a journey of discipleship where there's relating to God and there's obeying God and there's being formed, that part of that, if we're going to obey and grow, we must part with some things. Part with possessions or attitudes or comforts that get in the way of what Christ wants us to do in terms of our relationship, our obedience to Him, our love for others. I know many of you right now during this season, the season of Lent, right, leading up to Easter, you are willingly parting with certain things during this season. You're giving up something that you usually enjoy. And one of the reasons that we do this, right, it's a helpful spiritual exercise for many in this regard, that we're kind of training ourselves to part with something that we enjoy, so that we don't rely on it too much, or so that we're willing, or kind of training ourselves to be able and willing and ready to part with anything that the Lord calls us to part with. That's part of why this Lenten, spiritual exercise of giving up things can be helpful to disciples of Christ today. Whether you're doing that during this season, whether you're in a high-risk environment or a low-risk environment, as you focus your attention on the crucified Christ in the coming weeks, who gave up so much for you, I want to leave you with this question today. It's a simple one, and it's this. Right now, during this season, what do you need to lose for Him? What is Christ calling you to part with? What does He want you to leave behind or lose for the sake of His kingdom and based on His work in your life? The 12 disciples, they lost a lot, by the way, really quickly. It was an intense experience, wasn't it? I mean, it was a fast-paced experience, a dramatic change in lifestyle as they chose to leave so much behind and follow the radical, risky, controversial rabbi from Nazareth, Jesus. I mean, it was a big change all at once. For us, those of us who are blessed and privileged to follow Christ over the course of many years, the changes come over time often, that bit by bit, season by season, we lose more things, give up more things, perhaps, in order to let Christ have more of us. Maybe as a young person, you experienced this for the first time. And maybe you're a young person listening to this message today, and you know this experience firsthand. It's present reality for you. You had the experience of giving up certain things that the rest of the crowd was doing and enjoyed for the sake of what Christ was calling you to do and to obey Him. And as I've talked with young people in their 20s recently, people in college, I've heard that experience from young people, from Christian young people saying, boy, the things that my friends, my peers are doing, they are appealing to me. There's parts of their lifestyle that I would like to join them in. But the call of Christ in my life is calling me right now to set aside that, to lose that, to miss out on that for the sake of what He's asking me to do. Maybe you've experienced, you probably have at one point many times in your life, but think about the first time or some of the first times as a young person you experienced that losing something as you follow Christ. As adults, we grow up and we have responsibilities. We have homes and jobs. And maybe at some point, again, in your adult Christian journey, you learned to follow Christ in terms of voluntarily losing or giving away some of your wealth, some of your material possessions on a regular basis, that you learned that, yes, I could lay up more security, I could gain more and more, but you felt the call of Christ asking you to part with some of it on a regular basis, giving to the church, giving generously to those in need. But you learned to do that as a way of losing and giving up. Christ may call us to lose all sorts of things so that he has more of us. I heard a story recently of a man who was a music lover. He just loved music. And early in his adulthood, he told his wife one day, "I think God wants me to sell some of my records. I think God wants me to sell some of his records." He had a huge record collection. And he felt that God wanted him to sell that, not because he thought it was the devil's music or some such thing as that. He didn't. He appreciated music as something that God's given for us to enjoy. But he felt as if God was maybe prompting him to sell some of his records because he'd become too attached to them. It had dominated his life so much so as to crowd out the work of God. He sensed that Christ was not at the center like he ought to be, but in fact, his music collection had become the center of his life. So he said to his wife, "I feel like God wants me to part with some of this, to lose some of this right now during this season, so I can be more devoted to Christ." Others of us may need to change the way that we organize our time and how we spend our time during this season. We may need to lose some of the things that consume so much of our time. Still others of us in this season may need to part with things that are deep down in our attitude, a desire for power, prestige, a bit of anger towards someone or some group, a prideful disposition. Now those are hard things to lose. Boy, wouldn't it be nice if those things could be just cast aside easily and just lost and tossed aside on the side of the road? Those are hard things to lose. Those are the things that kind of need to be kind of surgically extracted by the Holy Spirit, those attitudes of the heart. But God can do it. If those are some things that during this season he's pointing to for you as things you could lose, don't give up. Work with him. He can help you set those attitudes aside as well. Now, this season, you guys, this Easter season is as good a time as any for you to continue your losing streak. It's not a fast-paced losing streak like the original 12, but over time, as you walk with Christ, he's going to ask you to lose some stuff, to set some stuff aside so that he can have more of you. Following Christ means being willing to lose some stuff of this world along the way. What might he be calling you to lose during this season? Amen. Will you join me in prayer?